The Lord that we have come to meet this weekend is alive. And He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Forever He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Amen.
Everybody.
He's alive. Jesus is alive. Isaac got married, and for 20 years there was no child. 20 solid years. He got married at the age of 40. Year after year, nothing. But one day, the Bible says in Genesis 25, verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord heard his prayer. The Lord heard his prayer, and the woman got pregnant. And you know, because the Bible says, for your shame you will have double, God gave them twins. That God called this prayer meeting at the beginning of the year is because He wants there to be several testimonies this year. Several testimonies this year. Now, I want you to forget about who is standing beside you, before you, behind you. I want you to lift your own hands to God and say, God, my case is on your table. My case is on your table. I have come here for you. I didn't come here to look around. Father, I am here for you. Lord, I am here. I am here. There's something that makes me come into your presence.
My helper is something that makes me come into your presence,
my helper.
Can you tell the Lord, I didn't come here to attend just a meeting. I came here to meet you. I came here to meet you. Can you tell God? Can you tell God? I came here to receive help from your hand. I came here to receive help from your hand. I didn't come here for a church program. I came to receive help. Hey God, I came here to receive help. I came here. Oh God, help me. I came here to receive help. I came here to receive help. I came here to receive help. I don't know about you, but I came here. I came for God to call for this kind of meeting at the beginning of the year. God, I came here to receive help. I came here to receive help. I came here. Can you tell the Lord, Father, my case is an emergency. Please tell the Lord, my case is an emergency. Oh, see, listen, maybe some of you here, maybe your own is not yet emergency. You will give us chance that our cases are emergency. And you say, God, my case is an emergency. It needs urgent attention. My case needs urgent attention. My case needs urgent attention. My case is ICU case, so my case is ICU case. Urgent attention. See, if you have ever been to the hospital, and maybe doctors were just attending to some people who are just there, their case not too serious. As soon as emergency arrived, they abandoned every other case. They faced the emergency. If your own case is an emergency, please, I want you to tell God, my case needs urgent attention. My case needs urgent attention. My case, oh God, my case needs urgent attention. It is not a casual case that we can say, come tomorrow, come next tomorrow, come next year. Father, my case needs urgent attention. Urgent attention. Kebuda Sibarosianta Kabarusha. Oh, Zariba Kosante Kabradosahaya. Makosubrada Kashida. Ribasuriba Kasuda Kayeda. Maradosi Barosakada, Riba Sharaba Kosiada, Rakeba Kosanta Kabaronta. Oh God, oh God, Riba Sotayada. Father, this is an emergency case. Oh, my brother's case is an emergency case. My sister's case is an emergency case. Oh God, Barakadosanta Kayada, Riba Sharaba Kosanta Kayada. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Karabata Sheba Runde Kesade Kayada. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Sit down first. Sit down first. Now listen. When somebody has an emergency case, the person not they look face. The person not they look face. That woman whose child was troubled when he came to Jesus, and Jesus was saying, no, you know it's not time to minister to the Gentiles. It's not good to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. The woman says, Sir. I'm not looking for bread. Even if it is crumb that fell from the children's table. Even when people were trying to stop her. He said, Father, this my case is an emergency. It is not by mistake that God would lead us to have this type of meeting. And I don't want you to approach it as a normal meeting. Because it is not a normal meeting. That is why, when it is time to pray, don't pray one kind of psychedelic prayer. When blind Bartimaeus was shouting, have mercy on me, thou son of David. They say, shut up. He said, you don't understand. Suppose you wear the shoe when I wear, you're not going to tell me to shut up. I will shout until he answers me. Excuse me, did Jesus answer? We have come, and we have come to hear the word and to pray. The Bible says they came to hear and be healed. They came to hear and be healed. So we are doing both. Amen. And this meeting is so serious that I want you to take it seriously. Don't take it as a usual relationship program you normally go to. It is not. It is not. I can tell you it is not. And that is why the meeting has been scheduled in such a way that there is ample time to pray. Because let me tell you, if it is a talk you have been hearing, have you not been hearing talk before? So we are not here for too much talk. Let's call to the helper. If we are going to talk at all, let it be to stir your faith to pray. Let it be to stir your faith to hold on to God for the miracle for which you are trusting. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. God is a miracle working God. The meeting has been scheduled in such a way that we are going to be praying. So right now we have set up a Telegram group particularly for this journey to the altar. Particularly for this journey to the altar. Because when we finish here, right now, we finish the teaching, we finish praying, we get home, 9 o'clock in the night, we are going to come to that Telegram group and pray for 1 hour. We are going to pray for 1 hour on that Telegram group. Tomorrow morning, we will wake up 6 o'clock. We will pray again from 6 to 7 for 1 hour. Then we will come here by 9. Tomorrow morning, Reverend Ufoma Omashaye and Bemi Anderson, two of them will be here ministering. And of course, if you know Reverend Omashaye, our own minister. Then we will go after that morning session. In the evening, we will come again, 4 o'clock. Take instruction, pray, and go. Then in the night again, by 9 p.m., we will pray again from 9 to 10. That's tomorrow, Friday. Then Saturday. When we get to Saturday, we will wake up again by 6 and pray from 6 to 7 on Telegram. After that, we'll come to church by 9. And then we'll do 9 till maybe 12 as Spirit leads us. Bemi Anderson will be here. I'll be here. Daddy, in fact, Daddy will also be ministering tomorrow evening. Amen. Yes, Daddy will be ministering tomorrow evening. Now, so this is what I want to quickly say to you before we begin to open the word. If you are not yet on that Telegram page, channel, or what do they call it? Write your number on a piece of paper. Just write your number on a piece of paper, and the ushers will be moving down the aisle. You give it to them, so that before the service is over, they will already add you, so that you can join the prayer. If you don't have a smartphone, when it's 9 o'clock, just be praying as the Spirit leads you. Just be praying as the Spirit leads you when it's 9. If you don't have a smartphone, but you do have a smartphone, put down your number right now so that they can start adding. Because if I wait till the end of the service before I announce this, the pressure, they may not be able to add all the numbers before that 9. So I want them to start to add for those of you who came early. Already we have about 100 and over 100 and something persons on that group. Well, we are just going to pray. How many of you are ready to see miracles this year? Yes. Yes. And you are going to see it. No, I'm telling you, you are going to see it. Because God never calls the sons of Jacob to seek him in vain. You are going to see great things. Mind-boggling things. Shocking. Shocking. This year, 2025, in the name of Jesus. All right. So, this meeting is going to have different dimensions, and we'll be looking at different aspects in preparing to journey to the altar in 2025. We're going to be looking at different aspects. So the different people who will be coming, giving instruction by the Spirit of God, will be bringing different dimensions, different graces. So I want to counsel you, those of you who work and the rest, not to be tempted to miss tomorrow morning. Don't be tempted. Try your best to ensure that you don't miss that morning session tomorrow, where Mrs. Omashaye will be preaching. And that's the only session she will be taking during this time with the Lord. This is a time with the Lord. This is a time with the Lord. I have come unto you, Lord. I have come unto you, Lord. I have come to my Father. I have come to renew strength. Please listen. I want you to register your presence. Register your presence in Baba's presence. Register. Say, I have come. I don't know about my neighbor, whether that one came, but me, I have come. I have come.
I have come.
Make it your personal prayer, your own personal prayer.
I have come to thee, O Lord. I have come
to my Father.
I have come to renew strength.
I have come to thee, O Lord. Tell him, say, Lord, I have come. Lord, I am here. Lord, I am here. Lord, I am here. I am here tonight.
Father, I have come to renew.
I have come.
I have come
to the
old.
I have come to the old. I have come to the Father.
I have come to Jehovah.
Can you lift your hands as we take it one more time?
To you, O Lord, I have come. To you, O Lord,
I have come. To
I have come to my Father. I have come to
renew strength. Psalm 84. Tonight, I just want to look at some principles of faith. And we are going to pray. Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." I didn't hear amen. 2025, the Lord will release grace and glory to your life. Grace and glory. Tonight, I'm just trusting God to stir up your faith. Amen. The Lord will release grace and glory. Grace and glory. Can you put your two hands on your head? Say, I receive grace and glory. I receive grace and glory. Say one more time, I receive grace and glory. Amen. Then it says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. Marriage is a good thing. Amen. And whatever it is within the circumference of God's will for your life is a good thing. No good thing will he withhold. There are married people here this evening. Even the married people here, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. For those of you that trust in God for marriage, marriage is a good thing. And it says, no good thing will he withhold. Will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from them. But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice something. He said, no good thing will he withhold from which people? Them that walk uprightly. And that has to be the foundation of what we are dealing with the next four sessions. This is the first session and the other three sessions. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. In other words, my walk is important to God. The way I live is important to God. The way I choose to navigate through life is important to God. He said those people from whom he will not withhold any good thing are those people who have chosen. They've made a choice to walk uprightly. See, I was on a live this afternoon and I asked the question, how many of you were on that live? Let me see if anybody will know the expo now. So I asked a question. This is the question. I said, there are five frogs sitting on a log. Five frogs sitting on a log. Four of the frogs decided to jump off the log. How many frogs remain on the log? Five frogs are on the log. Four decide to jump off. How many remain? Eh? One. How many of you say one remain? One remain. Una no know mass. Oh, una de fear. Eh? Five frogs, my darling, are sitting on a log. Four decide to jump off. How many remain? If you say five, you are wrong. If you say one, you are wrong. Eh? So how many frog remain? If you say none, you are wrong. So, what is the issue? What is the problem with this mass? Simple mass. Five frogs are sitting on these logs. Four decided to jump off. They made a decision to jump off. Question, did they jump off? So until we know the ones among the frog that acted on their decision, we don't know how many jumped off. We just know that four made decision to jump. Whether some jump, whether all of them jump, whether not two jump, we don't know. But they made a decision. What's the point? Many times, people would decide to say, yes, enough is enough. I can be doing this kind of Christianity of going forward and coming backward. Commit sin today, repent tomorrow. Do this tomorrow, next tomorrow. I want to stop this. I want to stop this. They are like that frog. Or those four frogs sitting on the log. They made a decision. Making the decision is one thing. Acting on that decision is what God considers. So it's not a case of saying, I've decided I will not live anyhow again. I want to live my life for Jesus. That's a wonderful decision. But God is looking for action. God is looking for action. This is the beginning of a new year. There are a lot of young people, single people, maybe because of pressure of relationship, pressure to get married. Okay? Even the values that they had set for themselves. As soon as somebody shows up, they start that relationship and the person is pressuring, you know, let's have sex, let's do this. They say, after all, we can repent later. And they've done that. You've done that once, you've done that twice, it's not working. Because that is not the way. We are reading the Bible. It says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So there is a them to whom no good thing is withheld. There is a them. So as we start this meeting, what you want to ask, am I among the them? Or when God looks at my life tonight as I sit here, are there areas in my life that God is still shaking his head? No, no, no. No. You need to repent about this. We need to start this meeting on a very correct note. So tonight, if there is anything standing between your soul and your Savior, any hidden sin, any hidden compromise, any hidden habit, since we are trusting God to be moving to the altar, journeying to the altar in 2025, God said, I'm putting my finger on something that you must repent of. That issue has to be settled tonight. Amen. That issue has to be settled. May I tell you, if no matter where you go, they say they lay hands, they lay legs, they do this thing, it will not undo the word of God. The Bible says there is a them to whom no good thing can be withheld. There is a them. That good things just come. They just come. They just come. So I want you to check. I want to check your life. Is everything okay between you and your Savior? Is there nothing standing between? If there's nothing standing between, I praise God for you. But there, if there is, we're going to have an opportunity to ask God for forgiveness so that we can start this matter very correctly. Are we together? We can start this matter correctly because I am persuaded. When God told me about this conference, let me tell you the truth. He assured me, I am fully persuaded that many of you this year will actually get to that altar. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your age. And that is why when God begins to bring the instructions that he will be bringing throughout the days, the four sessions that will be here together, you listen up and you act accordingly. You don't just take decision like those four frogs. You take the decision, you act on it. You take the decision, you act on it. That is to say that if right now you are here, and you're already in a relationship, and actually you came because you are begging God, because this boy, you don't even know whether he's serious, whether he's not serious. It's just they do his own. Yeah? Today, go be like, say, serious. Tomorrow, but because you wanted to marry him seriously, you already started sleeping with him. One of the decisions you will make tonight is to repent and stop that journey that will never end you at the altar. That is what must happen. Now, so if we are going to trust God that for each one of us, as I'm talking, maybe there's an area God is pointing to say, hey, my son, this is what I've been telling you. My daughter, this, you would settle it with God. You will settle it with God. There are many people who are trusting God for the altar, male and female, yet you are dealing with pornography. No good thing will he withhold from them. From, see, anytime I'm reading the promises of God in the Bible, I always, first of all, ask myself, to whom is this promise addressed? So that me, I'll not go and be claiming something that is not particularly addressed to me. So I'm checking, to whom is this promise addressed? This no good thing will he withhold. It's addressed to them that walk uprightly. That walk uprightly. So, brethren, one of the things you will determine from tonight is that this year, Father, if you are here, you can't even say you are truly born again. That has to change. You get born again. You ask Jesus to become the Lord of your life. For those of you who are already born again, but you have not been too deep, you have not been too serious, you are going to tell God this year, I'm going a distance. Say amen. Amen. So I want to look at some principles of faith. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Holy Spirit, thank you. Oh, there will be much rejoicing this year. Amen. Oh, if that amen is loud, then I was speaking to you. Amen. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Anything we receive from God, we must receive by faith. Everything we receive from God, we must receive by faith. Whether that thing is spiritual, natural, physical, financial, anything we receive from God must be by faith. So faith is the hand that receives from God. Faith is the hand that receives from God. He said faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Please give me good news. Good news, please. To have faith is to be sure that the things we hope for, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. Please listen, what is faith? Many times people think that they have faith, they really don't have faith. So what is faith? Faith is to be sure of the things that you hope for. You know, there are some people, they want to get married, but they are not even sure. They are not sure. I want marriage, but I'm not sure. See, I'm not sure. But they don't mind, though, to say, let's go and pray. I'm going to meet pastor to pray for me. I'm going to meet this prophet. They don't mind that. But somewhere in their heart, they are not sure. If you are going to receive from God, you must be sure of the things that you... How many of you hope to be married? You hope to be married. You want to be married. Eh? Okay. How many of you... There are other things in your life you also want to see in manifestation. Let me see your hand. He said you have to be sure of the things for which you hope. You have to be sure. This marriage is going to happen. This marriage, there's no ifs or buts about it. I know this. I know this. I'm sure. I'm sure. You know, there are some people, if you say, are you born again? I hope so. I think so. You see, they are not sure. They are not sure. So, in preparing to be married or any other thing you desire from God, he said to have faith is to be sure of the things you hope for, to be certain of the things you cannot see. If you are not yet married, you have not seen the marriage yet. Have you seen it? He said, you have to be certain that this marriage, I don't see him. Now, you never see him. I don't see him. Amen. You are certain. Amplified. Amplified version. Glory to God. Amen. Media is searching for amplified. All right. Now, so faith is to have full confidence. Full confidence that what God promised, he will do it. That's faith. Faith is to be assured that God is not a liar. Eh? That God is not a liar. That I'm not dealing with a man who will make promise. Tomorrow he will say, change his mind. God does not change his mind. Amen. Amen. He said he will not alter that which he has uttered out of his mouth. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith actually perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So I am here in worry, and somebody comes and brings some papers and says, Pastor Vera, I just bought you a house in Abuja, and gives me paper. Have I seen the house? But I collect the paper. Faith is a title deed. It gives me the title deed to the land. And when I collect the title deed, I believe that I have a land in Abuja. Eh? I've not even seen the land. I can even be here and be looking for who will buy the land in Abuja. And I have not seen the land. That is faith. Many times, people mistake mental assent for faith. What is mental assent? Mental assent is for you to agree in your mind that this thing is true. You agree in your mind that it is true, but it's not a reality in your heart. You say, "Not really true. Not really true. Ah, God, this marriage is going to happen this year." It's in your mind, but it's not a reality in your heart. How do I know that it's not a reality in your heart? Because as soon as you go home, and then you remember that, Kai, this is a new year, 2020. Hey, so 2024 come pass, you start crying again. You see what you had? Is mental assent. You agree that the word of God is true, but it has not become a conviction. You are not yet convinced about it. You are not yet convinced about it. So mental agreement is to agree in your mind that the word of God is true, but there is always a but. You fall short of the reality of it. You remember that day when Anna went to the temple to pray? Eh? Do you remember that story? So after she finished praying, the prophet came and said, "Madam, oh yeah, go. The Lord will give you as you have requested." Do you know that the Bible says when she left there, her countenance was no more sad. It's called the joy of faith. I have not yet seen it, but I believe. I believe. I believe that what God has said, that is what it is. Faith is a conviction. You, if somebody asks you, how you think, you are just talking as if to say, "Are you God?" You say, "Don't worry. I know what I'm talking about. The word of God has assured me that this matter is settled." I'm telling you, by the time we do the four sessions with you people, with all the prayers, this matter is settled. Yeah. And even some of you that, it's not just journey to the altar. Some of you young men want to go to the altar. Even finance is a problem. Even the matter of finance will be settled. Yeah. Oh, come on, let your amen have some life. Yeah. So faith is substance. It's substance. Faith is what gives substance of the things we hope for. Let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. So Jesus had been buried, and then he rose again from the dead, and he appeared to the disciples. When he appeared to the disciples, Thomas, Didymus, the twins, was not around when he appeared to the disciples. So when Thomas now came, they told him that Jesus had risen from the dead. He said, "Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka. I will not believe this thing, unless I see with my eyes and I touch his side. I will not believe." John chapter 20. Let's look at 25. John 20, 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Hey, are we together? Unless I can see him with this my eyes, unless I can touch him, this thing you are saying, I will not believe. Do you know that many people operate with this kind of Thomas kind of faith? You see, when they start believing, is when it looks as if one brother is dancing to their direction. And the brother, appears to be showing some interest. They say, hey, be like, say, God, don't drop. Hey, be like, say, God, don't drop. That time, eh, that's when they will now be dressing fine. That's how they will now be smiling in the fellowship and the rest. Then, one day, as the brother was just coming towards them, then the brother just woke up as go greet Agnes. Ah! Omo! I thought it was me who was interested. I didn't know that he was using me to pass to reach my friend. You know the problem. Unless I see with my eyes, I will not believe. See, in this kingdom, in the world system, they say seeing is believing. If I see, I will believe. But in this kingdom, believing is seeing. If you don't believe, you will not see. That's what Jesus told Mary. He said, did I not say that if you would believe, you will see? Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you will see? If you would believe, you will see. Please help me tell your neighbor, if you would believe, you will see. No, tell them, preach to them, if you would believe, you will see. It's not a case of, I'm waiting. Let me see it first. Then I will believe. When I see it, I will believe. You will believe it tonight. Oh, I'm telling you, you will believe it tonight. That this journey to the altar in 2025 is your own. You will believe it tonight. You are not going to wait until you get a phone call. Hello, are you Rita? Please. My brother is just coming from Canada. And as I was praying, it was you that was laid in my heart. I beg, I want to connect two of you. Make us see. Then he said, he has done it again. Jesus here. Yeah. I'm not waiting to get a phone call. I believe now. I'm not going to use that Thomas kind of faith to say, unless I see. You know. What does Mark 11:23 say? Mark 11:24. Eh? Please give us Mark 11:24. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you have received, it will be yours. Please, I'm just laying down some simple principle. Please look at this scripture very well. Everybody read it. No. Put it in that NLT. Put it back in that NLT. Everybody read it. Are you reading the Bible? It said you can pray for some things. So is it a bad thing to pray for marriage? It is not a sin to pray for marriage. It is not unspiritual to pray for marriage. You are not carnal to pray to be married. There's nothing wrong with you to desire to be married. He said you can pray for anything. Then look at it. If you believe that you have received. Please look at the Bible. If you believe that you have received, what will happen? It will be yours. See, that means that it will not be mine until I believe that I have received. Some people want to wait to receive first before they believe. I don't need to wait to, because if I have received it, then there's nothing to believe again. There's nothing to believe again. Put it in King James. He said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. When do you believe? When you pray. When you are praying, believe that you have received. When you pray, believe that you have received. Then you shall have it. And this principle works in every area. Let me give you an example. Kenneth Hagin was born with a deformed heart. He was born with an incurable blood disease. And the doctors told him that they don't know anybody who has ever lived beyond 17 years who had that condition. So by the time he was 17, he was already paralyzed in bed. Couldn't move. It was on that bed that he gave his life to Christ. Then his mother brought him a Bible and he started reading the Bible. Then he got to Mark 11, 23, 24. Then he started complaining to God. But I have been praying. I pray. I don't get healed. But you say when I pray, I will receive. Why am I not receiving? You know what he was doing? Because he was paralyzed. Once he just pray, oh God, heal this paralysis and the rest. Once he finished praying, he will start checking his leg. He will check his hand. The thing is, he will start crying. Say, oh God, I thought you would heal me. You said, if I pray, I will receive. God said, look at the scripture again. So he read it. He said, Then God said, read it again. He now read it. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have already received them. Then you shall... He said, I cancel all the former prayer. Some of you need to cancel some of all your other former prayer. I'm telling you. I cancel all the other prayer. I get it now. So it is at the point I am praying. I must believe at that point that this thing, I have received it. I'm not going to wait to see it before I believe I have received it. Do you understand what I'm telling you? So he said, he now said, Father, he now prayed. Then what he now did after the prayer was what changed the whole thing. He said, now I have prayed, I believe I am healed. So he managed and pushed one of his leg down from the bed. Pushed the other leg from the bed. Then it's that kind of bed that has, you know, if in the house I grew up, my father's bed, they have pole, four pole like this. How many of you grew up in that kind of home? Those kind of bed that have a spring. The bed will be bouncing like this. I don't know how husband and wife they sleep for those kind of bed in those days, but that was just how it was. Now, so he said he now dragged himself like this, dragged himself and held to the pole like this. He said, I want to announce in the presence of God, in the presence of the holy angels here present, in the presence of the demons that are here, that I, Kenneth Hagin, am healed. I'm healed from the crown of my leg to the soles of my feet. He said the next thing he experienced was as if somebody poured honey on top of his head. As he was pouring like this, the thing welled up and then started moving. Moving down, not physically, moving down. As soon as he hit his leg, The paralysis was gone. Oh, come on, clap. The paralysis was gone. He would have died on that bed, praying and saying, why did God not heal me? But there is a principle. When you pray, believe. We are going to pray this for sessions. But let me tell you, believe as we pray that this thing, I have received it. He said, then you will see the manifestation. Then you will see the manifestation. Amen. Let's look at Romans before we get to pray tonight. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, verse 17. Romans 4:17, talking about Abraham's faith. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Please, let's pause. I mean, this guy was childless, barren, years and years. And yet God was speaking to him. And God said, I have made you a father of many nations. Please note what God said. God did not say, I am about to make you. What did God say? I have made you. Do you know that as far as God is concerned, this lady, I have already given her a husband. It's not a case of we are here to say, God, come and give me husband. Come and give me wife. I have made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed. So Abraham had to believe. Okay? Even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You see, God always speaks in the prophetic perfect tense. God always speaks in the prophetic perfect tense. What that means is that when God talks to a man, he doesn't talk to a man in future tense. He speaks it as if the thing is already concluded. It's concluded. It's not a case of, now we won't discuss her. I have made you. I have made you a father. So, tonight, I hear God say, I have made you a wife. Oh, few people believe me. I have made you a wife. I have made you a husband. It's not a case of I am about to make you or I will make you. I have made you. Now, so look at it. The Bible says, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. 18. Who, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. The Bible says, when it looks as if there was nothing to hope for again. Against all hope, Abraham believed. Against all hope, Abraham believed. Sister, are you giving up? That's not what your father Abraham did. Huh? Please, can we see it from the Living Bible? Put it for me in the Living Bible, please. So when God told Abraham that he would give him a son who would have many descendants and become a great nation, Abraham believed God, even though such a promise just could not come to pass. When it looks as if, is this kind of thing even possible? Is it even possible? How can a woman... Please listen, we are dealing with a God that has a track record of keeping his word. And I have checked. Who do I want to call? Is it Sarah I want to call and ask Sarah, does God keep his word? Sarah will say yes. When he spoke to me, I laughed, but he kept his word. You know, there are some people, if we say this year, you will journey to the altar. They will laugh like Sarah. Hey, you know, and some people will now look like, okay, I pray. Why they are talking like that is that they have given up. They have given up. But we serve. We serve a living God. I said we serve a living God. Please put it back in King James. King James. He said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. That's God spoke. So I'm going to give you four or five principles quickly and then we'll pray. So shall thy seed be. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, listen to me. You know Hebrews 11:11? He said, by faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed when she was past age. Scientifically impossible that a woman who has stopped menstruating, menopause has set in many years back. How did it happen? If God said it, it will happen. That's all. A Against hope they believed. Against hope they believed. Amen. Be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. 20. He staggered not. He staggered not. You know what it means to stagger? To stagger now. Today you believe. Tomorrow, I beg. Next tomorrow you believe. The other tomorrow, that's staggering. But for this Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. 21. And being fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able also to perform. That was it. He was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded that this word of God will come to pass. He will never, never lie. His word must surely come to pass.
He will never, ever lie. God is not a man. His word must surely come to pass. In my life, he will never, never lie.
All right, now, so write down. Write this down. Let's get to pray. 5 steps to receiving from God. Of course, we know that faith is actually a person cooperating with God. And I said the principles of faith are the same. Whatever you are believing for, whether you are believing for anointing, you are believing for open doors, whatever you are believing for healing, you are believing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are believing for financial breakthrough, the principles of faith are the same. Number one, receive. Sorry. Have God's word for what you desire to receive from God. Have God's word for what you desire to receive from God. Have God's word for what you desire to receive from God. Have God's word for what you desire to receive from God. So the Bible says, for Abraham, it was according to that which was spoken. He had God's word. He had God's promise. So sometimes, people come to me and they say, oh, Pastor, I'm trusting God for this. Please join faith with me. And I say, what scripture are you standing on for this? None. I say, that's what you get. Nothing in particular. Nothing in particular. He said, take with you words and turn to the Lord. So whatever thing you are trusting God for, you must go and receive the word that promises you that thing. And it is that word you are going to bring to God. And I have already helped you this evening with Psalm 84. It's a good word that you can stand on. God, you said, no good thing will you withhold. Marriage is a good thing. You are not going to withhold this one from me. Financial breakthrough is a good thing. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. Praise God. So you must receive God's word. You see, the importance of having God's word is that that will be your anchor. In those times when the devil wants to shake you as if to say, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. He says, sorry, you came too late. There is a word. There is a sure word. Amen. Number two, believe God's word. Believe God's word. That word that you have to believe it. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Say, you know the devil, Oh God, you don't understand. The devil is a serious harasser. The devil knows how to harass people. And if you don't have the word of God fully working in your heart, he will harass you almost to death. I know what I'm talking about. There, you check time, so. You check your age. You look your body. See, as your body don't change. See, the devil will just be coming with all sorts of thoughts. The only thing that will be that buffer to push him back is the word of God. Is the word of God. How do you think this? Why do you think it will happen? Look at your family. Which girl do I ever marry? Before you know, they don't get beleko. Nobody, they don't even pay anybody bride price. You see, so you have to have a word. Especially if you have patterns, negative patterns in your family, you must have concrete word. So in Proverbs 4:20, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So pay attention to my word. Please let me tell you. We are going to pray. We are going to pray. But let me tell you what the devil is good at. For those people who follow football, you know what is called a counter attack. So this team is coming. They were about to score. They're not going to score. This other team now picked the ball. And you know that those other people that wanted to score, most of their men are on this side. And this one just picked the ball, start to run like a crazy man. Many times, those goals are scored based on such counter attack. The devil knows that we are here now. Does he not know that? He knows. Between now and when you will see the manifestation of meeting the sister or meeting the brother, you need the word. That is why here at Morning Star, we don't believe in just come pray. You need serious word. You need serious word. He said, my son, pay attention. So you are going to, maybe when I come tomorrow, I will help you with some scriptures, okay, that you can just use so that you are not going to be scattering Bible to find which one you want to use. Eh? Let me just help you. You see, but let me tell you something about the word of God. When I give you those scriptures, I will not make it many, maybe 3 or 4. Eh? I'll give it to you tomorrow. You know what I want you to do? You will take those scriptures there. You will go and meditate on them. Because cramming the scripture does not necessarily mean it will work. You must go and meditate on them until they become a personal promise to you. So, wow. I know, see, I was reading Bible one day. I was just reading about John the Baptist, reading about Jesus Christ. And then I got to that point where it says, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. I've read that place many times. But that day, God said, this one is your word. And thou, child. The next thing, my hand was on my head. And I was, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. It was a word for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you are going to take the scriptures I will give you tomorrow. You are going to meditate on them. And to meditate means you will repeat it. You will be speaking it. You will be repeating it until it becomes a reality in your inner consciousness. And you know that this one, God is speaking to me. This scripture is mine. Is that okay? So you have to believe the word. Is it? One thing people don't know about the word of God is that the word of God is God speaking. He said the word is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is God speaking, and God cannot lie. Amen. When people are reading the Bible, they think that they are just reading a book. No, it's God speaking. Praise God. You may just be reading one place and God begins to say in that place, this will no longer be delayed. Like a scripture God gave us the other time, that this prophecy will no longer be delayed. It will come to pass. And God said, that's your word. And you take it. So when the devil wants to start harassing you, say, no, I have a word. I have a word. I have a word. That's how you battle it until the manifestation comes. Amen. Number three. Hallelujah. Consider not the contradictory circumstances. Consider not the contradictory circumstances. In other words, don't look at the contradictory circumstance. Say, look me. Maybe I'm not even too fine. Maybe I don't even get money. Some of you brothers, consider not the contradictory circumstance. Some of you are considering your looks, you are considering your appearance, you are considering all the contradictory circumstances. The Bible says that Abraham considered not his own body because it was contrary to what God had said. He was not considering his, he was not considering Sarah's womb that was now dead. If you keep looking at your circumstance, you will not walk by faith. You remove your eyes. If I'm not to consider the contradictory circumstance, what am I to consider? The word of God. So, once we pray this week over this matter, anytime it occurs to you again about marriage, don't touch it in your thought life except in praise and thanksgiving. When it occurs to you again, not I can do prayer again. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Young Icho tells the story of a young girl that he went to preach in their church, and this girl was really mature, young lady, mature. One of the oldest girls in the church. So the pastor brought her, said, please pray for this, my such a good girl. Please pray for her to get married. So he said as he wanted to minister to her, the Lord laid something in his heart. And he said, what kind of husband do you want? Said she was sure. Sure, they define kind. We should be kind husband. I just want husband. He said, no. So that's why you have not seen your husband yet. You need to see your husband. He said, how? So he started asking her question. Okay, what, should he be tall or short? Said he should be tall. What kind of profession? Okay, teacher. His hobby? Music. His nationality? Okay, I'm from here. I want him to be from my side. Okay. And it went 10 questions like that. After the 10 questions, say, close your eyes. Say, do you see your husband now? Say, yes. She started smiling. Say, do you see him now? Say, yes. Okay. Those 10 questions, write the answers. And go and put it on your fridge. Where you'll be seeing it every day. Every day you say, that's my husband. I call him forth. Because he called those things that be not as though they were. So he prayed for her. Then the next year when he came back to that same church, the pastor said, come. That girl of last year, do you know what happened? Say, what happened? He said, so that summer, they were having a youth something. Then there was one youth pastor who came for this musical something with his guitar and the rest. And, you know, he said, of all the beautiful young girls in the church who were pressing towards him, he said, he don't see anyone. No, only that mature girl. And by the time they checked, he was a teacher. He was tall. Of course, he came to play music. Everything. Before the program was over, I don't propose to the girl. I'm telling you, some of you will get some quick proposals. He don't propose to the girl. And the next thing, they were married. On the day of their wedding, the girl's mother, with tears, he brought that paper from the fridge and read it at the reception and said, we have seen him, we no longer need this, and tore the paper. I'm not asking you to go and do that. Okay? But what I'm saying, is that there is a way you will believe the word of God that you can almost visualize this thing. So that when pressure is coming in your mind, and you know people who lack understanding, they want to put people under, hey, when we go eat your cake now, what do they wait for? I said, well, what are you doing? I'll give you some anointed slabs. What are you doing? So when people are just running their mouth like that, you just smile. You smile. And then you know what they'll be saying? This one be like, who don't Chris? Not even guess, it's not they think again. No. What they don't know is that you have too much sense to worry. You have too much Bible sense to worry. Amen. So you don't consider the contradictory circumstances. Rather, what has God's word said? What has God's word said regarding me? Praise God. He gives me all good things to enjoy. Again, I say, this principle works in any area. Any of you believing God for a job, you are believing God for anything. These principles I'm giving you is the same. Amen. What number are we? Four. So we go to number four. Give praise to God. Give God praise. So the Bible says that Abraham was giving glory to God. Come and see what the Lord has done for me. And they say, sure, where am I? Say, you don't have eyes to see. If God open your eye to see, you say, sure. Now, wow. I mean, this don't make this get a crease. No, you don't understand. It's called the joy of the Lord. You wake up in the morning. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my... Let me tell you something. You know why this praise is important? If the devil cannot steal your joy, he cannot collect your goods. Because the Bible says it is with joy that you draw from the wells of salvation. If you are going to go around with strong face, frowning face, you know what you are going to do? You are going to be driving away your miracle. Because no man is ready to marry a frowning, sad wife. No, I've had to call some ladies. I said, no, now. This thing you are doing is counterproductive. If my son brings you, saying, are you one married? The answer is no. I'm not going to pray. And what you don't know is that when you are putting all of that sadness on you, you begin to age fast. But when you are laughing, you are joyous, you are rejoicing in your God. Say, I like that girl. She's always happy. She's always smiling. There's something about her. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. A merry heart does good. Amen. Learn to praise God. Engage the mystery of praise. This is a mystery of praise. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, but they didn't end with prayer. They also sang praises. Many times that's where we end. We just pray, but we don't remember to sing praises. What does it say in Philippians 4:6? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let's not forget that part. With thanksgiving. You wake up in the morning, Father, I'm so thankful. I'm journeying to the altar. Oh, thank you, Father. I'm so grateful. In the evening, Father, I'm grateful. Amen. There's one prayer we're going to pray. I guess we're going to pray it tomorrow because tonight there's a different direction I want us to pray. That God would strategically locate you where you will meet the person that you should meet. Amen. There are two prayers we are going to pray tomorrow along that line. Because I know the devil. After this kind of meeting, sometimes what he does is to quickly go and bring one fake person. Say, Pastor, don't pray. This must be the person. Every counterfeit, we cancel them. So you will learn to praise. You will learn to praise. Then finally, number five, let's get to pray. Let's get to pray. Number five. Keep speaking in line with what you've asked and believed. Keep speaking in line with what you've asked and believed. Keep speaking in line with what you've asked and believed. Keep speaking in line with what you've asked and believed. In Romans 10, the Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. But it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. It is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. It is with the mouth. In other words, you must keep your confession in line with what you have received. So all of you who normally just talk, hi, now wow, to even get a good wife these days, husbands, they're scarce. They're scarce. If I look my age, who could even be my age mate? And you are saying all of that, you think you are joking. Please listen to me. In Mark 11:23, he said, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and you will not doubt in your heart, but you believe that whatever you say will come to pass. You will have whatever you say. Brethren, listen. This is a principle. I'm going to still talk a little bit about it tomorrow because I don't want anybody to undo our efforts. You will have whatever you say. You cannot finish praying and now be talking differently. You will have whatever you say. Now, so a man of God said that God told him that I told my people that they could have whatever they say. But my people keep saying what they have. And so long as they say what they have, they will keep having what they have because what they have is what they have been saying. So they repeat a cycle. God was not making a mistake when he said, let the weak say, I am strong. He wasn't telling them to lie. It's a principle in the spirit. Let me tell you how it works. So Moses encountered God in the wilderness. And Moses asked God, you told me to go and deliver your people out of bondage. If I get there and they ask me, this God that sent you, what is his name? What shall I tell them? He said, tell them that the I Am has sent you. He said, this is my name. And this is my memorial to all generations. The I Am is my name. Then Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments. And God told him. He said, I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain. What is his name? I Am. What does that mean? Do you know that the universe has been programmed that anything you say after the name of God I Am will come to pass? That is why we can't finish praying and then you leave here and say, I'm so frustrated. What did you say? I Am. He said, I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain. I am frustrated. You know, once you say that, all the frustration in the world will be looking for your house. I am so lonely. All the loneliness will be looking for you. I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain. So, after you've taken all the other steps, now you are going to crown it with a proper confession. I'm so blessed. My marriage is happening this year. My marriage is happening this year. Thank God, because my marriage is happening this year. Sir, where to be the man name? That's none of your business. My marriage is happening this year. When Elisha helped that woman to get her child, and the child died. When the husband was asking her, where are you going? He said, it is well. Eh? It is well. It's a principle in the spirit. She had a choice to say, my pikin don't die. But she said, I can't confess that. It is well. It is well. We are going to be praying tonight. Amen. And the few minutes we will pray, I want you to take it seriously. Because me, I don't know about you, but my own case that brought me here is an emergency. Eh? If your own is not an emergency, we have space at the back. But people who know that this thing that God has called, how many of you have attended this kind of meeting like this January? God says, start fasting for this kind of issue. I've never heard it anywhere. I didn't see somebody doing it and I said, okay, let us do it. It was an instruction. And when God gives an instruction, it's because he wants to act. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Let's stand on our feet. Oh, how many of you believe God? I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. It is well. Your eyes be focused on God. Focus your heart on Him.
Faith loose tonight.